Hallelujah. God is moving today. Amen.
Right.
We have a move of God if we want a move of God. About 2 years ago, roughly 2 years ago, I preached a message called Fire in My Bones. And I went and looked up the notes the other day. And really about the only thing I used for my notes was the first sentence. But you know what? We still need that fire in our life. The question is, are we on fire? Are we letting God's blessing be in our life? Are we letting God's Spirit move in our life? Are we open to the moving of God in our life? You know, I grew up in the Pentecostal movement. That's really all I've ever known. There's only been a short period of time that I went to a church that was not Pentecostal. And, of course, while I was in the Army, I went to whatever church was available to me there. And during that time, I went to some churches that were not Pentecostal. But I've primarily always gone to Pentecostal churches. Churches that believed and taught that the moving of the Holy Spirit was real, that it took place in our lives today, and that we could have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that we could speak with other tongues, that we could have the power of God in our life. So growing up in this, I heard this term a lot. Are you on fire for God? Be on fire for God. Or somebody saying, I'm on fire for God. But it looks like in many cases, even in some of the Pentecostal churches, the fire has gone out. I have been surprised as I have gone into some of them that I grew up in, and you didn't feel the move of the Holy Spirit there that you used to feel. And I look back, and I've told you, I look back at one particular church that I spent time in during my teenage years. And I've seen the fire wane there even. But I remember the days when there was a move of God, when you went to church with such a great anticipation, believing that God was going to do something in that service. And you got there early. And you sat and you waited because you knew at 7 o'clock the time church started that something was going to start happening, that there was going to be a move of God, that you were going to have a visitation from God in that service. And you can go into a church service and you can have a visitation from God, and you can go into a church service and you can come out as dead as a doornail. It's what you put into it. God's presence can be there, but unless you're open to the moving of God, you're going to come out the same way you went in. We've got to be open to being on fire for God. We've got to be open to a moving of God in our life. I looked up the word fire, and the Hebrew word fire is pronounced esh. And it's used that way in every place fire is in the Old Testament, that the Hebrew word is used. And God used fire for a lot of things, a lot of representative things in the Old Testament. First of all, we read in Exodus chapter 3, verse 2, and it says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed." Here's Moses that is talking about. And he's out in the desert. He's been taking care of sheep for 40 years. He knows those sheep by name. He can look at this herd of sheep and he can tell who's who in that herd of sheep. He's been there with those sheep so long. That's the desert. The desert can be a boring place sometimes. And all of a sudden, he sees this bush burst into a flame of fire. And the amazing thing is, it did not go out. I'll tell you something, tumbleweeds and bushes like that burn fast out in the desert. They burn hot and they burn fast. And he looked and it didn't go out. And he thought, I've got to go have a look at this thing. And oh, I'll tell you, when he got close to that burning bush, I'll tell you, the voice of God began to speak to him out of the midst of the bush and say, "Take off your shoes, for now you're standing on holy ground, because the presence of God is here." And it changed Moses' life. It changed his destination. It changed what he was going to do, because now he was released by God and sent by God to lead God's people out of Egypt's bondage into the presence of the Holy Land, into the presence of the Promised Land. Fire changed Moses' life. And out there, while they're out in the middle of the desert, and they're spending that 40 years wandering in the deserts because they had what? been somewhat ungrateful. That's to speak the least, ungrateful as to what God had done. When they have said, why can't we have some of the things we had? Why are we got this going through? Why are we that? And they grumbled and they complained and they ended up spending 40 years wandering around in the wilderness because they didn't believe God could do things. And they said, oh, there's giants in the land. We can't take the land. So they spent 40 years wandering around while that group died off. And the next group was ready to go in. But what did God use during that period of time? The Bible tells us also in the book of Exodus that he used a pillar of fire that guided them by night. In Exodus chapter 13:21, it says, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud and to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He used a pillar of fire, and I'll tell you, at night, when that pillar of fire moved, they moved with it because that was the light that they needed. That was the light that guided their path during the nighttime hours when they had to go. And when the fire stopped or when the cloud stopped, they stopped. But God used the fire to tell them when to go and where to go. And they had to be open to the moving of the pillar of fire. And we need to be open to the moving of the Holy Spirit in our life. When the fire moved, they had to move. And when the Spirit of God moves, we need to move. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Fire led the way. Fire represented the glory of the Lord. In Exodus chapter 24:17, it says, and the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. You see, when God spoke to Moses and said, go up to the top of Mount Sinai, I want to have a little chat with you. I got some things I want to tell you. I got some instructions to give you. I got some rules that you need to live by. And Moses went up there. That says that the people down below, it says they saw what was like a devouring fire on the top of the mountain. And that was the glory of God. And that's what they could see. The glory of God represented as fire. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, and they saw his presence up there. But yet, ungrateful, stupid. How else can you call it any other thing? Stupid people said, well, he's been up there a long time. Something must have happened. Build us another God. And that's how we get to be sometimes. If God doesn't do everything on our schedule, if he doesn't do it exactly the way that we think, let's find us another God. I'll tell you, God is God. There's a chorus that they used to sing years ago called God is God. He's God in the Amen corner. He's God all over the floor. He's God at the back door. He's God. I don't remember exactly how it goes, but I'll tell you, it ends up and God will always be God. I'll tell you, he's God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And he ain't no golden calf. He's not some statue that we put out here somewhere, but he is Jehovah. He is Yahweh. He is Father God. He'll always be God. He was God in the beginning. He'll be God in the end because there will be no end as there was no beginning. The thing is, our minds can't comprehend no beginning. Our minds can't comprehend no end because we have a beginning and we know that we in our physical body have an end. Oh, but he's always going to be God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So it represented the glory of God. Oh, the fire in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 38, it represented answer to prayer. Elijah, mighty man of God, came to the point that he thought he was the only prophet of God left. But the day came that God spoke to him and told him to challenge the prophets of Baal and take them up to the top of Mount Carmel, and they were going to have a spiritual duel. And the rules were build an altar, and whoever's God answers by fire, he's God. And they got to go first. And they got to spend hours, and their God never answered. Didn't matter what they did. It didn't matter how loud they prayed. It didn't matter what all sorts of ritual they went through. Their God didn't answer. And Elijah stood there and said, what's the matter? Is your God on vacation? Has your God gone deaf? Well, of course their God was deaf because a stone statue, a stone idol can't hear. Amen. They were worshiping something that had no life. something that had no hope. And Elijah, then his day is closing and it's time. He says, now it's my turn. And he builds his altar, puts the sacrifice on the altar, pours water on top of the sacrifice on the wood that's on the altar, pours water in a trench around it and says, oh God, let them know that you're God. And fire came down out of the heavens and consumed the sacrifice. It consumed the water. It consumed the stones. It consumed everything that was there. Because he answered a prayer and said, God, let them know that you're God. In the New Testament, and I forget which scripture it is right offhand, but the disciples said to Jesus at one point, because of some things that were going on, they said, what, should we not call fire down from heaven and consume them? We don't need to mess with God. People don't seem to learn that, though. God is to be respected. God is to be reverenced. God is our Heavenly Father. We don't want to mess with God. But people can't seem to learn that. Answer to prayer. Zechariah tells us that the fire is like a refinement. In chapter 13, verse 9, he says, and I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. Oh, I tell you, when he puts us through the fire, it's to refine us. It's when he goes to say, you're my people, I've refined you, I brought you before me, I am your God. Yeah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And when we go through those trials of life, when we go through those times of testing, that's just the refining process that God is putting us through. Oh, I tell you, he's getting us ready for that day when we're going to stand before him and he's going to say, I have tried you through the fire. I've refined you and you've come out as pure gold before me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, he tests us through the fire sometimes. And it's not always pleasant when we go through the fire. Oh, I tell you, but he's there waiting on the other side. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, we used the Hebrew word. Now let's go to the Greek word for fire. Actually, if we put it in English, it almost sounds like the word pour. But here's what John the Baptist had to say. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's going to baptize us with the fire of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Something that begins to burn in our bones. Something that begins to burn in our hearts and our lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus in Luke 12:49 said, I am come to send the fire on the earth, and what will I, if it be already... Excuse me, let me read that again. I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I, if it be already kindled? In another translation, he says, I wish it was already kindled. Hallelujah. I've come to send fire on the earth. He come to send an anointing on the earth. He come to send the presence of the Holy Spirit on the earth, something that would burn in our bones. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Then he goes on. Hallelujah. In fact, actually that verse in another translation says, I've come to set fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. How I wish it were already burning. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 3 it says then, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. Oh, I'll tell you, they saw the presence of fire in their life when it set upon them. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We talked about a couple of years ago when we were celebrating the 100th anniversary of the outpouring on Azusa Street. How the church down there on Azusa Street, that people called the fire department one night because they thought the building was on fire. When they got there, they couldn't find a physical fire, but it was the fire of God that was manifest in people's lives. Hallelujah, hallelujah. When we get that fire in our life, when we get that fire in our bones, something begins to happen to us. Something begins to move in our life. Something begins to change us. Lukewarm Christians never change the world. Lukewarm Christians never changed the world. In fact, in Revelation chapter 3, verse 16, it's interesting in the Bible how many things are chapter 3, verse 16. John chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have eternal life." In Revelation 3, 16, it says, "So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I will spew you out of my mouth." Jewish Bible, it says, "So because you are lukewarm, neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." Not a pleasant thought, is it? Lukewarm Christians never changed the world. It took Christians who were on fire to change the world. There's another word that's used, and it's only used a couple of times in the New Testament. It's the word fervent. And the word fervent in Greek is zeo, which means to boil like hot liquid or to glow like hot metal. That's what the word fervent in Greek means. The Bible uses that word a couple of times. In Acts chapter 18, verses 24 through 25, and it says, "And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John." Oh, I'll tell you, he didn't even have the baptism of the Holy Ghost in his life yet. And he came and he had that fervence in his life. He had that boiling, that overflowing spirit in his life that was moving him to preach the Word of God. That's why there's been some preachers out there in times past that were mighty men of God, and they didn't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Maybe they didn't speak with tongues, but I'll tell you, they were open to the moving of God, and they let that fervency of God begin to boil up and work in their heart and in their spirit, and they were overflowing with it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Apollos was a man on fire. It says he boiled with the Spirit. It's used one other time in James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Let's just read that again, using what the definition of the Greek word is. The effectual, hot, boiling, glowing prayer of a righteous man does great things. It avails much. And I'll tell you, when you've got somebody, a Christian that's on fire for God, and the Spirit of God is moving in their life, and they're boiling over, they've got that presence that's like a fire in their bones, when they begin to pray, things begin to happen. Because it's a move of God in their life. And I'll tell you, when you begin to boil over, when you get that Spirit of God moving in your life, you get that fire in your bones, you feel it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We need that fervency in our life, that boiling in our life. We need the fire in our bones with a hot, boiling fervency that will drive us to be what Yahweh God wants us to be. God has a plan for our life, and the plan for each one of his life is different. He didn't call everybody to be a preacher. He didn't call everybody to be a teacher. He didn't call everybody to be a singer. He didn't call everybody to be a musician. He didn't call everybody to be various different things, but he called you to be what he wants you to be. And let's be happy with what God called us to be, and let's do the best that we can with what God has called us to be. Because I'll tell you, when we begin to be what God wants us to be, that fervency is going to begin to boil up, and it's going to take place, and it's going to show. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. From Peter to Paul, oh, and to other great men and women of God from their time, until now. It's been in the fire of God, which ignited the fervency that has been a driving force behind the church. And when we lose that fire, we begin to wander in the wilderness, in the darkness. Because it's the fire of God that lights our pathway. It's the fire of God that drives us ahead. It's the fire of God that moves us. It's the fire of God that urges us. It's the fire of God in our midst that causes us to do what He wants us to do. We've got that fire in our life. When you get the fire of God in your life, when you get that fire driving you, I'll tell you, become an all-consuming fire. You ever watch a building burn? Some of them burn slower than others, I know that. But you got a building that's maybe old and dried wood and all that, and the temperature's just right. And you stick a match to it, man, that thing will burn like crazy. And that's the way we need to be. We need to be burning like crazy before the Lord. Hallelujah. Letting the fire of His Spirit dwell in our life, burn our bones, ignite us, drive us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The fire of God. What we need is the fire of God. Hallelujah. We need the fire of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We need to have the fire of God in each and every one of our services. We need to have the fire of God in our daily life. It needs to be in our life whether we're in church or not in church. We need the fire of God. Because when we got that fire of God, He's going to lead us down our daily path as well. And I know it's great we can come to church and we can celebrate God and we can celebrate His blessings and we can shout and we can praise God. But we need to be able to shout and praise God when we leave the church doors and we spend our week out in that world too. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We need the fire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We need the fire of God. Dwelling in us, speaking to our hearts, guiding us. And Father, I pray right now that Your Holy Spirit, Father, Father, would drive us, would consume us, Father, with Your fire. And Father, that You would lead us in the path that You would have us to go. And Father, that You would cause us to be the person that You want us to be, Father. That we become an all-consuming force in our life, Father. Father, we'd be consumed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. And Father, we'd want to do what You want us to do and be what You want us to be. And I pray, Father, that You would speak to hearts today in Jesus' name. Amen.